Welcome to the India FinTech Diaries, the only podcast focused exclusively on the Indian FinTech market. I'm Elroy.
And I'm Hemant. In each episode, we dive into the latest trends, ideas, innovations, business models, and personalities that are shaping India's FinTech landscape.
We also invite amazing guests who are innovators and industry players that are driving the change that is helping make financial services more modern, innovative, and inclusive in India. Come join us as we explore the changing landscape of FinTech in India.
Welcome to India FinTech Diaries, the show for all things FinTech. I'm your host, Hemant.
And I'm your host, Elroy. Hemant, this week the Sensex crossed a historic mark of 70,000, and in all likelihood, it'll keep heading up. But the road to 70,000 has been one that's been very fraught with lots of ups and downs and volatility. This leads me to the question, what does the investor who needs stable returns do today? Well, one fintech is solving for this very use case, and to discuss this and more, we have with us today Saurabh Jain, co-founder of Stable Money. Welcome to India FinTech Diary, Saurabh.
Thanks, Indra. Thanks, Hemant. I'm super excited.
Saurabh, you've had a very interesting journey cutting your teeth in analytics before working across multiple industries. Do share a little bit about your background with us for our listeners.
No, I think most of the decision-making in terms of the career over the last 12 years has been regret minimization. So when I got into fractal analytics, which is, I think, 2011, I remember India and especially data was booming a lot, right? So, and I was very curious about what fractal and some of the similar companies are doing. That's right. How I got a good opportunity to work there, work with the CPG major, a couple of years based out of India, a couple of years based out of Geneva. But that is exactly the time when I still remember I was traveling back to India for some reason. And I met a lot of my friends and some of these people who have started Housing, Tiny Owl, Ola, and multiple such companies, right? And then I realized that, oh, this is the time for India. And if you really want to do something over the next 5-10 years, you want have to get into the startups now, because the Indian market, especially the startup market in India, was growing at a fast pace, and we had a right ecosystem. That's when I left Fractal, came back to India, explored a bunch of ideas, and then finally got into agri-tech idea, which me and my co-founder from college were very excited. The idea was very simple, that how do you build a very efficient supply chain in agri, where we were procuring from farmers and delivering it to the restaurants. We did that for a couple of years. The idea was to do this B2B kind of a space, got some great angels to back us up. And exactly, I think towards the end, when we were actually closing it down, Swiggy and Zomato was picking up. So this is the time of 2016 and 17, where the restaurants were getting digitized and they were getting a lot of business, right? Swiggy acquired us, and that's how I got into Swiggy, though eventually we did not pursue that idea within the Swiggy. But yeah, I think when I joined Swiggy, that was the real growth phase. They had just raised a significant round at that point in time, and I was in charge of the growth. Got opportunities to work with a bunch of leadership people at Swiggy. The main task that I was given was to scale Swiggy from 20 cities that they were present in to 500 plus cities, because giving convenience to the Indian household was the motto. And we know that India is has a very deep TG. So that's where we said that there are 500 plus cities where Swiggy could be very helpful. And we moved. That's exactly the task that we did. We gone from launching one city every 7 months to launching seven cities a day. That was the scale that I did. And then when that was happening, I got a call out of the blue from Sachin's office, Sachin Bansal's office, Sachin is doing Navi, and he's looking for a chief of staff. And obviously, that was a shocker for me, because I had absolutely zero background in fintech. But I thought I'll take that chance. Met Sachin, was very inspired by the vision of Navi to become the new tech bank in India. Got into Navi, did a couple of things. We initially was chief of staff to Sachin, where we were launching the lending product just in the midst of COVID. Then we did a bunch of acquisition, DHFL Insurance, which became Navi Insurance, and SL Mutual Fund, which actually became Navi Mutual Fund. And once the acquisitions were through like the regulators, he asked me to lead a mutual fund piece. And that was super exciting to be India's youngest CEO of mutual fund. We did a bunch of things. I'm sure we'll talk about that in future. And spent 2.5 years at Navi, and got very great insights about the customers while I was talking about the mutual funds, right? And I realized that the India that I have been seeing for the last 5-10 years, which is mostly metro and the tier one cities and people talking about securities and mutual fund, that's not the India. The real India is very deep, and most of their investments are in fixed income. And where in the last 5 years, the mutual fund and stocks have picked up, there is no real player into the fixed income side. And that's how last year around October, I left Navi and started Stable Money.
Very interesting journey, Saurabh. Traversing right from analytics to CPG to then Navi, which was more financial services, but more mutual fund, to now starting a fintech yourself. Now, you spoke about fixed deposit, and fixed deposit sort of has been growing and generating stable returns from 1998.
Yeah.
But with the changing environment, in fact, it has become a little more attractive as well, because some of the banks I saw that are offering about 8-9% for a 600-day deposit. So can you help us understand both? One, the world of equities, stocks is very exciting. Most of the financial influencers also just talk about that. The FDs are stable, more so our parents' generation were more keener on that than the younger generation is. So tell us about what are the economic, macroeconomic factors that are affecting this, and your thought process on why you chose this space and not something else.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think the root to this is to understand the real customer, right? And if you see real customer and look at their investment portfolio, 72% of, almost 70-72% of their portfolio lies in fixed income, which is mostly fixed deposit, gold, real estate, bonds, everything, right? And the remaining portfolio is the stocks and mutual fund. And that has also just picked up in the last 4-5 years. But if you really look at India, right? The fastest growing segment in India are the people who are first time rich, right? These are not the people who had parental money. And these people are very cautious where do they invest, right? Because they are very afraid of losing that money. So still the largest part of their investment will lie into the fixed income, which is all these instruments that we spoke about, right? And that was the real thing that we said that we need to do this. And if you also see in terms of the government and the regulators and what they are doing right now to get more retail participation into the bonds market, into the other market, I think these are some tailwinds that we believe that could really scale and make India maybe one of the biggest fixed income market in the next 5-10 years. And we thought that we have to capture this sooner than later. Like, if I had to start something 5-6 years back, maybe I would have done something similar to Grow or something similar to Zerodha. But I think today is a great time. And one very interesting insight that we have realized is in the last 5 years of people getting into the mutual fund and stocks, right, that was also a time when at any point in time when you invest in a stocks and a mutual fund, the money was growing. But people generally forget that every 5-6 years, there is a recession, right? And that has happened in the next, maybe in last couple of years, COVID happened, some kind of recession signs are there. And people realize that you can't have all eggs in one basket, especially equity and mutual fund. So the people who started doing their first time investment in equity and mutual fund realize that there has to be a portfolio balance. But now these are the exact same people who are doing Grow for mutual fund, who are doing Zerodha for stock, who are ordering food on Swiggy and Zomato, who are doing cabs through Ola and Uber. But when it comes to fixed income investment, there is no such application. There is no such platform which gives that seamless experience discovery to the user, right? So it is still being dominated by very large banks in India. And we thought that some of these things is placing us and giving us that very nice white space to get into the fixed income asset and start maybe democratizing more of these instruments for the Indian public.
Saurabh, that's a very good time to segue into Stable Money. Talk to us a little bit about Stable Money and the problem statement you set to solve with it.
So Stable Money is the fixed income investment platform. And the problem that we are solving is people are used to some of these fixed income investments and they have been doing these investments for the long period of time, but they are not getting the adequate information and they are not getting the optimal returns on this. And our goal is how do you maximize the returns without increasing the risk for the investors, right? And that's where we started with fixed deposit as the first product. It's India's favorite asset class. Everybody understands fixed deposit really well. I think in India, if you just go and talk about FDs, the only question that they will ask is what is the interest rate, right? So such a well-known product, but these people are still investing in very traditional banks or large banks, which is not giving them the best interest rate. And just to put some numbers around it, this is the number published by RBI, that only 1% of FDs, and there are 240 million FDs in India, only 1% of those FDs are earning more than 8.5% return, right? And most of the FDs are earning 6 to 6.5% return. And with all the Yes Bank fiasco that happened, RBI getting more into the banks and the regulations and the safety of money, people are now aware about the RBI insurance, where you invest fixed deposit across any of the banks, right? The up to 5 lakh fixed deposit is insured. Now, if I do investment any of the small finance bank for FDs or in SBI, the risk is apparently zero, right? So why don't you maximize that? And that's the particular insight with which we started Stable Money and the first product, which is the fixed deposit, where we are offering higher interest rate to people without increasing their risk, because all the FDs that we offer onto our platform are insured up to 5 lakh from RBI. And some of these small finance bank, the licenses which were given 5-7 years back, right? They have now implemented a lot of technology in the last couple of years, and they were very ready to get out in the market and reach out to the customers. We want to be that platform which helps them reach out to the retail customers quickly. So that's where we have done integrations with some of these small finance bank. We are still working with more banks to start offering their 8-8.5% kind of FDs to the customers, so that they can maximize their returns. That's the first goal that we have.
Saurabh, when I was going to your website, right, I saw one of the unique things that Stable Money has is that it has this unique proposition of not requiring a bank account necessarily with the bank to book an FD.
Yeah.
Right. Talk to us a little bit about the customer experience of both booking an FD as well as redeeming one at maturity. And also, what are some of the tools that are built into the Stable Money that will help me as a investor get the best out of the platform?
I'll tell you a couple of things that we have realized. And we spoke to almost 700 customers before launching this product. And the most important thing that we realized is people have a lot of this perception about FDs. And these are very deep-rooted perceptions. First is, if you have to create an FD, you have to go to the bank, open a savings account, current account.
Correct.
And using that, you have to create an FD, which is not necessary, to be very honest, right? That was bank's way of getting more customer in CASA. Second was, people realized that prematurely withdrawing FDs will incur huge penalties, and they will get only the principal and not the interest rate. And I'll tell you some of the insights that we have realized. Even people of our age, when we spoke to them, why do you think that? They realize it comes from the parent. And why it comes from the parent is, when they used to book FDs and go to the branches and say that, hey, I need money and I want to break that, the branch people, maybe a couple of decades back, have ingrained that into our parents' head, saying that agar aap FD todoge, you will get only the principal, you will not get the interest. And that is being passed on to the next generation. And we all feel that you can't do this. And we thought that some of these myths have to be broken. And that's where on Stable Money, whenever you book FDs across any of the banks, you will not have to open a current or a savings account. You can book FD just by doing a basic KYC, which is PAN verification, Aadhaar verifications, and the video KYC, which is completely digitized. And booking an FD will take you less than 3 minutes onto our platform. You can start booking your FDs right from 5,000 rupees and go up to as high as 2 crores onto the platform. And breaking that FD at any point of time is just a one-click process.
Right.
And some of the partnerships that we have done with the bank, in those cases, if you prematurely break your FDs, bank generally charges a penalty on an interest rate, right? Which ranges between 0.5% to 1%, and in some banks up to 2% as well. We have tried to minimize that to zero. So when you book FDs on Utkarsh Small Finance Bank on our platform and withdraw on Stable Money, there will not be any penalty charged to the customer. So that gives a lot of customers this flexibility and freedom to put their money into these banks and withdraw whenever they want it. And just to put some numbers to this, right? If you keep your money onto a savings account for, let's say, 3 to 6 months, you earn 2-2.5%. And the same amount now, if you put it in FD, where when you break it after 3 to 6 months, there is no penalty, you earn around 4.5%. So there is a 2% increment even for a short-term money that you're trying to keep in FD. This is very unique to a lot of customers who never thought of FD as parking money or liquid money kind of a setup. So we are trying to innovate a lot on that, which has got a very good response from the customers.
Saurabh, you know, the first time stable money came on my radar, at least, was when one of my friends, Ravi Handa, right, actually posted, a photograph with one of your t-shirts on and a small little shout out to you guys. That's how I first came to know. And then when I looked at social media, I also saw that you sent a very, very sweet swag bundle as a guest of thanks to all your early customers. It actually made me wish that I was one of them as well, just for the goodie bag. But it also makes me wonder, what would be the profile of an early adopter of stable money look like? Can you describe who your early adopters were and what the profile of a typical customer is?
Absolutely. Elroy, and for you, Hemant, definitely goodies. We'll send it immediately after this. But to talk about the profile, it's very interesting. So first, I'll tell you about the age brackets, right? So 13% of our investors today are senior citizens, where initially whoever we spoke to about FDs, right, they said, yeah, this is for our parents, this is not for us. But only 13% of our investors are senior citizens, and mostly they invested onto our platform, either they themselves have discovered or their kids have told them. Around 14% of our investors are female, and we all know that females who are earning or who are saving, the most preferred choice for their investments is fixed deposit. They have always been doing that and they have a certain goal in mind. So 27% of our base is this. And the remaining percentage comes from the male, which are broken down into 35% people or males coming from metro cities and the tier one cities. And the remaining 65% are coming from the tier two cities and beyond, right? Which is very surprising for us that initially we always knew that early adopters will come from the tier ones and the metro cities. But what has happened over the last couple of years is because of this influencer and influencer market, right? A lot of people in these smaller cities are very keen to build a detailed understanding of their finances, how can they maximize money? And that really helped us to reach out to this segment. And I think you'll be surprised that one out of every three customers on our platform who is booking FD has never booked FD in the past. So somebody who always thought that FD is not a good instrument for them, it's a very boring instrument, mereko karna nahi hai. These are the same people who thought that putting all the monies in equities and mutual fund is the right thing to do. But now they are realizing that portfolio balance has to be there. And people have started doing that, right? And there are multiple formulas going around in India across the customer base that how the portfolio allocation should happen. One of the customers that I was talking yesterday was said that with my age, whatever is my age, I will have that much percentage of portfolio into the fixed income. And he was 20 and he did 20% of his investment in fixed income. So that's what we have been getting mostly from the customer side. And also, 30% of our customers have booked their FD first time online. And Elroy, you will be very surprised to know this stat that in the last couple of years, one out of every four FDs is getting booked online. And when I say online, is either through net banking or through any of the aggregator platforms that exist onto the in the ecosystem right now. Correct. And this number is rapidly increasing. If you just take last 1 year, this number is already two out of four. So people are migrating to booking their FDs and everything to do online. And we thought that this is a very nice inflection point where introducing something like stable money, which gives some of these unique features to the customers, could be helpful. And we will cut across the TGs, across the age groups, across the income bracket. And interestingly, our median age is 32. So most of the customers who are doing the fixed deposit onto our platform or who are really loving the platform are the people who are around 27, 28 plus, who are generally from tier one, tier two kind of a city and generally have a family. Either they stay with their parents or they have a family, married and have kids. And they have to park some money into fixed income, but they never had a great interest rate FDs. Now they have. So, yeah.
Saurabh, how are people discovering you also?
Interestingly, it's been just 4 months, Elroy, that we have launched the product. And we haven't done much on the marketing. I think our initial customer base was acquired through LinkedIn because all of us and my team are very active on LinkedIn. And we have been promoting fixed income instrument for the last 8-12 months. And we have built a very good wait list onto that. And those were our, some of our early adopters who acquired that customers, and they spread a lot of word of mouth for us. Second thing was the influencer marketing. So we have actually reached out to some good influencers, including Ravi Handa, where we know that people have a lot of trust onto these people. And these people also don't talk much about stocks and equity and how do you earn 50%, 80% kind of a return. These are the people that we have reached out to, and they helped us spread the word. But now I think a large contribution of our new user customer base is coming from the referral segment. So people who can refer to their friends and families is a significant chunk, because we all realize that anybody who is booking FD onto our platform minimum knows two people, either one, either in their family or friends, who will be benefited by booking FDs. And they know that they are not recommending any product which is very high risk product. They're recommending FDs. So people don't shy away from recommending FDs to their friends and family. So that's been our acquisition channel so far.
So Saurabh, from the customer side, we got a clear understanding what the benefits are and why they will use this. On the bank side or the NBFC side, obviously it makes sense, considering in the past some time at least, banks are really struggling with getting deposits. In fact, I read one news where they went on the streets announcing that they have deposits and this is the interest rate. There was a picture as well. From purely stable money point of view then, what is the revenue model that you operate on?
So it's been very standard revenue model that we have currently right now. We get money from referral income. So whichever bank that we are promoting or which is offering FDs onto our platform, with every customer, they give us a referral income that is linked to the ticket size of that particular FD, that is not linked to the number of customers. That's been the revenue model for us. And our goal as well that in future is we have to acquire customers onto stable money platform through FD, which is very simple product, and then eventually cross-sell newer products that will keep coming onto the platform.
Yeah, but primarily fixed income only.
Primarily fixed income. But I think we are also realizing as we are getting more and more customers that the needs are beyond fixed income as well. And one interesting product that is coming next onto our platform is loan against mutual fund. And this is also a new tech that has been built over the last 6 months, where whatever mutual funds and stocks that you have purchased, you can take loan against that. And that will come at around 9.5% to 10% interest rate, where people who take personal loans, and especially in the smaller cities, pay up to 18% to 32% on these personal loans. So our goal of how do you make more money without increasing the risk, or how do you save more money without increasing the risk for the customer? With that context, we'll have more products onto the platform just beyond the fixed income.
And since Saurabh, this is a fintech podcast, and I've spent some time on the technology side of the world, and at least my realization was that when a fintech like yours, which is very tech first, tries to interact and work with banks, and I think you have 200 plus banks and NBFCs, the integration, the technology, architecture, design, all of those itself also becomes a challenge, at least to a certain extent that has improved, but I'm sure it is still a bit of a challenge. So talk to us about a little about the tech challenges that you face and how you've circumvented that to actually make a 3-minute FD journey possible.
No, I think tech-wise, we had to do a lot of negotiation and discussions with the banks as well. Interestingly, today is the time in the last one and a half years, I've told you, right? The small finance bank have also realized that they can start growing significantly without actually increasing their physical presence, which will help them reduce the cost. They have also invested a lot on the technology side, and they have been very open and vocal to hear a lot of feedback from the companies like us in terms of how do you improve the experience. So in that case, I think our journey was a little smoother. The only thing is, how do you build this technology? And doing it for the first time has always been the challenge, right? So initial few banks, we tried to struggle a lot in terms of how to build this, how, and the regulations are also constantly changing. How do you optimize for those things as well? But once this playbook has been set, now doing the future integrations with the banks have become a little easier for us. And that's where the next 10 banks that we are planning to get onboarded onto the platform, I think should be much smoother versus what it was. But honestly, I think regulators and the banks, the other side of the supply side of the business, is been very open to this kind of a technological feedback that we have.
Very interesting. At least, Saurabh, this is now my sixth or seventh year from consulting point of view to sit between a fintech and a bank. And I remember when I started, the conversations of enabling that collaboration started with saying, how do we design a new contract letter instead of a 35-pager one to actually make things easier for a fintech to at least start experimenting, right? Because finally, it is bank data. There's so much things to be taken care of. But half the fintech got scared when there was a contract paper created, which was more an IT company doing a contract with a bank, which is so complicated. Yeah. And the same document going to a fintech founder who was like, what, say 30s, 32, considering fintech founder age is slightly still higher than the standard startup age. But that was baffling for them. So I know they have come a very long distance. I think most of them now have this API layer created, at least the large ones, making it easier. And you spoke about that it's been 4 months. I know it is early days, but still it would be great if you can talk about the early traction that you have seen on the platform, some numbers around it.
Sure. So we have, interestingly, Hemant, we yesterday crossed 200 crore AUM mark. So we have around 200 crores. Thank you. 200 crores FDs booked onto the platform. And this has been booked across 1.5 lakh customer base that we have acquired in the last 4 months. Interestingly, the ticket sizes are significantly higher versus what we generally see, right? I know some of the platforms which are offering cryptos and everything, the ticket sizes ranges between 50 rupees to 70 rupees. The ticket size for our platform, interestingly, for the first 4 months is above 1 lakh. And we have customers booking more than one FDs onto the platform. So the traction has been really good in terms of the overall uptakes, people booking FDs. There have been certain challenges in terms of educating people about the video KYC process, because that is still new for a lot of customers. Because when you go to your bank or somebody comes to your home, you don't realize that that is a part of the video KYC, right? You do this video KYC on the app. Some people are really baffled in terms of why is this happening. So those are things, and educating customers about that has been a little challenge. But interestingly, our leakage when it comes to the video KYC, people not completing the video KYC, has improved from 23% initially to 4% now. So I think a lot of effort from the team as well in terms of educating the customers and building the product that way. But we are very positively surprised. The target that we had built for the next year, October, we have already achieved that in this December. So really good.
Saurabh, why we spend most of our discussion today talking about fixed deposit? I understand this is really just only your first act on stable money. And I know you have a lot of big plans for stable money, Saurabh. So talk to us a little bit of what your roadmap for the future looks like.
Yeah, so I think other than the loan against mutual fund product that we are planning to launch by this month end, we have got all the necessary licenses to become an OBPP, which is online bond platform provider, which is the new license issued by SEBI to do bond transactions online. So we are doing the integrations with the exchanges right now, and we will launch our first bond onto the platform somewhere towards the end of February. And in that as well, our goal is very simple. We know that the penetration for the retail market for the bond is really, really low. And the major reason is everybody who is getting into the bond market and offering it to the retailers are focusing on the very high interest rate. I don't think that really works really well, right? So the G-Secs and the T-bills and a lot of state government bonds, I think that's the ideal way of starting and offering the bonds to the customer. So in terms of GTM for the bonds, we are trying to offer sovereign gold bonds, T-bills, G-Secs, state bonds, which generally backed by the government, so that people don't have trust issues onto the platform when they are doing their lifetime first bond transactions online. So that we are planning to start around February. So these are the two, three products which is our focus right now. And then we have certain more plans in terms of offering FD-backed credit cards and few more things onto the platform, maybe H2 of the next year.
Thanks a ton, Saurabh, for joining us on the show today. If our listeners wanted to learn more about stable money, what's the best way they can do this?
So, Elroy, thank you so much for having me here. I think I wanted to just tell one thing to the customers, that you don't have to read much about stable money. Just download the stable money app, either from Play Store or App Store. And every information that is required for you to book an FD, about the insurance, about all the features that we have, how do you book the money and how do you book the FD and how do you withdraw that, all is been covered in a very simple language and very intuitive way onto the app, I don't think people will have a lot of problem, because 70% of our investors book their FD in the first session itself. So yeah, just download the app, and we are very open for feedback. You can just drop a note onto the Play Stores and the App Store, or you can drop us a note onto LinkedIn, and we'll be very happy to answer these questions if they have any questions.
Excellent, Saurabh. So I'll include links to all of that you mentioned, right, in our show notes. So folks have a ready way to reference it. Thanks once again for joining us on the show.
Thanks, Eamon. Thanks, Andrew.
That's it from India FinTech Diaries for this week. Do watch out for the next week for a year-end episode where we recap what happened in Indian FinTech during this year with a special guest. Until next time, stay safe and keep exploring the world of FinTech.